Rodgers, later the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, listed, I didn't know this was a stat until a few minutes ago, in the NFL's 100 greatest characters, Jerry Glanville is listed as the 19th biggest character in NFL history. And think about it. He left tickets at will call for Elvis, got into it with Sam Weich. He was a character. He truly was. Let's bring him up and say hello to Coach Jerry Glanville. Coach, how are you?
Awesome. Be any better, it'd be illegal. I'd have to go to jail.
So let's start with the Elvis thing. What made you do that?
Oh, we were riding to practice. We were practicing out in Texas with the Houston Oilers in our camp. And June Jones and I were riding in the truck. We had a old pickup truck going to practice. And we heard on the radio that Elvis was spotted working at a Burger King in Michigan. Well, in 4 days, we were playing the New England Patriots in Memphis, and the halftime was dedicated to Elvis. So June says, gee, all that going on, Jerry, we had to leave him 2 tickets, maybe he'd show up. So we did. Little did we know, all kinds of people showed up for the tickets dressed as Elvis.
That's hilarious.
They had to pass the quiz. There was questions they had to pass. And the people, of course, didn't know the answers to the correct question. For instance, what was his middle name? Y'all know?
I haven't got it. Aaron.
Aaron, you're in.
Come. Are you serious? Yeah. Well done.
My mom was a big Elvis fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's impressive. So, Jerry, does it ever bother you that the character part of you may be remembered more than the coach?
Well, I'm still coaching. I'm still helping kids. I'm still changing. It really matters. Do I care what the media says or thinks? Or no, never did. Am I worried about a legacy? Hell, you ain't around. Why worry about the damn legacy? What I did, like last year, I'm the head coach in the spring league, and I got 35-man roster, and I get 3 kids signed at the San Diego Chargers. That's what the hell matters. All the rest is just having a little fun. What's the problem in the league, I would just have a little fun, and they're not used to anybody having fun.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. Does it, Jerry, does it bother you that the Oilers got forced to move here? And I ask that because when you were there, the Astrodome was rocking, and it was a great football town.
Well, it's same thing with Cleveland. What Bud wanted, he wanted private suites because every owner on seats in the stadium are split with the visiting team. Private suites, the home team keeps all the money. So all he wanted was private suites, and of course they wouldn't give them to him. And then if he moves to Nashville, he's got the private suites, he's got the parking, he's got what he needs. And then, of course, they leave, and then the next guy that goes into Houston gets not only what Bud wanted, same thing in Cleveland, gets twice what he wanted. So it isn't just Houston. Cleveland had the same deal. Baltimore had the same deal. They don't take care of the guy that's there, and then they find out after he leaves it was a bargain if they'd have given him what he wanted.
Yeah. Before I turn you over to Watson Brown, all of us up here know Bud was a character. Give me your best story of dealing with Bud Adams.
Well, his nickname was Bottom Line Bud. And the whole newspaper, I told him I had to have a Zyback machine. I had to have a machine to bring you back after knee operations. I said, you know, nobody comes back and plays after opera. We got to have the equipment. And he goes, well, what does that cost? I'm down in his basement. And I forget these, not the exact numbers, but I said, like, you know, it's $4,800. and you got to have one. We got to have one, and we're not getting. He goes, okay, you go buy one. Well, the next morning in the paper, the headlines, Glanville gets rid of the Derrick Dolls. There's no more Derrick Dolls at Oilers game. And the whole town said, well, that no good Glanville got rid of our Derrick Doll. Well, he took the money for them and bought the knee machine.
Watson, say hello to Jerry Glanville.
Jerry, it's good to talk to you again. I can remember.
Well, I worry about you because any radio show I go on like this is usually canceled. So I hope you all have another place to land.
Jerry, we've been everywhere else.
I think we've hit them all, Jerry.
Well, I love your city. I went there. You got the best doctor in the history of the world in that city, Dr. Elrod. And he's fixed two shoulders and a knee, and now he's trying to go to work on the brain. If he can fix that, he's really awesome.
Good man. Watson, what do you got?
Jerry, I remember being the AD and head coach at Rice when you were in Houston, and when the not-for-long statement came out, and when you got the official on the sidelines and all that got public, the city went absolutely nuts. They absolutely loved it. Talk about that story. Did you mean to create what you did? Were you just giving him grief like we all coaches do? Or how'd that all come to play?
Well, the week before, that happened in Tampa. The week before, we were in Denver. And you probably remember Johnny Meads, my outside linebacker.
Yes.
Well, the whole rule was don't hit the quarterback, don't hit the quarterback. So Elway goes off on a scramble, scrambles to our right, Johnny Meads' side. So he runs up, does not want to hit the quarterback. And Elway goes down on him and blows his knee. And so now I lose Johnny Meads because he's trying to protect Elway. And Johnny Meads, so the next week we're playing in Tampa. And I said, hey, protect yourself, the hell with those quarterbacks. If anybody's coming around, you get after them. Don't let them do that to you. Well, sure enough, Tampa quarterback goes rolling outside, and Robert Lyles is coming after him, and it's about the same play, and Robert blows up the quarterback. And here come the flags, and it was from a guy that's never done an NFL game. The last game he had was at a Vanderbilt. I said, bring that guy over to me. And that was my point. Was calls like that, you know, I don't know where it came from. I said NFL stands for not for long. I never said it before. I wish I got a dollar every time they play it on TV, but I don't. And it got a life of its own.
But I can remember Bud coming to me when I was the AD at Rice with our stadium, Jerry. You probably know this. And, of course, he's fighting with the city of Houston, and he comes and he wants these – wanting to negotiate to play at Rice Stadium. And it was his right-hand man with him. I can't remember the name. I don't know if you could throw it out.
Mike McClure?
No. Jerry, who would it?
I can see him. Little short guy with a mustache.
Yes. Who is the name?
I can't think.
Steve Underwood.
But anyway.
Yeah, Steve Underwood.
Okay. And they come, and we spend two different meetings in talking about this. But I never felt like that's what he was going to do. It was like it was another one of his power struggles to get what he wanted. Were you aware of that, and did you think that'd be a good idea if they just got out of the Astrodome and came and played at Rice Stadium?
Well, Bud never in his mind ever wanted to leave Houston. Bud loved Houston. I mean, yeah. It was Bud Adams. It's what who he was, you know, the rodeo, the stock show. I mean, he loved all. And by the way, I should say that he never introduced me to anybody as his head coach. He only introduced me, coach, as the foreman of the ranch. He is my ranch foreman. And that's just the way he was, you know. But I didn't know about the deal with Rice, but he sent me to Jacksonville, Florida, to talk to them about moving. So, Knoxville was not the first place he looked. He had looked at the other cities, and I could tell when I brought back all the information from Jacksonville, he didn't want to move. He thought, you know, just give me a chance here. You know, same thing happened in Cleveland. Same thing happened, you know, with the Baltimore Colts, the guy that he couldn't get anything. So he packed up and went to Indianapolis. The owners, they're billionaires for one reason. They like to make money. I have found out. I'm fortunate in my life. I've probably eaten dinner, been with, talked to, including Trump, you know, a half a dozen billionaires. And everybody says, well, what's the difference? I said, it's either their way or there's no way. Billionaires aren't coming around trying to ask what you want to do. They want to do what they want to do. And if I ever get to be a billionaire, I'm going to become terrible.
Oh, this is hilarious.
One last thing, and I'll send you over to Terry. Have I got time, George, for one more?
No, yeah, I like talking to you. I like football guys. You got to come see. You know, I coached the last year in Texas, and I coached last year in Indianapolis. And this next season, I'm going to be in the USFL. And you got to come see us because I was in the XFL 2 years ago. So
yeah,
we're still out there, still coaching, still helping kids. And my big deal is In Texas, I had a 35-man roster, coach, and had 12 players sign in the NFL.
That's fantastic.
It just, you know, people say, what are you doing? Why are you still doing this? If you help one kid, coach, you can't help yourself but do it again.
No, and I think, Jay, when it's in your blood, I've always said, I promise you, you'll say the same thing. I've never worked a day in my life.
No.
Coaching was something I truly enjoyed, and I don't care how many losses I had, whatever. I get up every day, and I look forward to going into work, and that makes us very lucky people to have had that.
Well, to back up what you said, my mama would say to me all the time, are you ever going to get a real job? Because she knew I wasn't coaching. I'd do what I love to do. Yeah. Well, I'm going to be 80 years old in October. And I'm a head coach in the Pro Football League, still winning games. And they said, well, are you going to retire? Well, I retire. We just kick the crap out of everybody. Keep on doing it.
Hey, Jerry, before I turn you over to Terry McCormick, will you stick around?
Is Terry going to get fired?
I don't think he is, but he was the one who set this up, and he hadn't gotten to ask a question yet.
Well, Terry knows the rule. I did this in a radio call-in show in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and I'm the only guy that does a show in Alabama that'll tell the truth about Saban because he was my assistant in Houston, and I don't have to pretend all this other stuff. And I said, they said, if you're in the show one more time, we won't be.
That's pretty good. Hey, will you stick around for one more segment with us?
I sure will. Tell the coach here, I got a grease board in front of me. I got a magic marker. You want to draw up some plays? Tell me.
Let's go for it. I'm with you, babe. I may fly down to you right now.
This is absolutely hilarious. Former Houston Oiler and later former Atlanta Falcon head coach Jerry Glanville on the line with us. We're going to put him on hold here in just a second. And then we'll bring him back up so that Terry does not get a complex and think, well, he gets the guest, but he doesn't get to ask any of the questions. Have you got good questions for him?
I've got a few.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You're not going to bring up the Yankees?
Oh, no. No, we're talking football.
Are we?
Yes, we are.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that. I got to stall while this music's going on, but suffice it to say, this is fabulous. And if segment number two is anywhere as good as segment number one, we are in for a real treat. So, we'll come back with Jerry Glanville. Then, during the 3 o'clock hour, former Dodger general manager Danny Evans will make his weekly visit. We'll talk about the Major League Baseball trade deadline, get into Kumar Rocker, all that kind of stuff. Stick around. This is going to be fun on the Plaster Radio Network.
Are you looking to start your own home gym? Hey guys, it's Zach, and I've got the hookup for you. Premier Fitness Source has opened a new location here in the Nashville area, and they are there to help you build the gym of your dreams. They can help you with residential and commercial exercise equipment and with the entire process from design to sales, installation, and maintenance. They are located at 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 in Brentwood. From ellipticals to weight benches, they have all the tools you need to achieve your health and fitness goals. Go check out their website at premierfitnesssource.com or go see them in Brentwood at 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 next to Publix. And check out their Instagram at PFS_Tennessee. Be sure to tell them that we sent you to receive a free gift. Again, that address is 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 in Brentwood. At Premier Fitness Source, they are committed to more than your satisfaction.
I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Is the time. If you did not hear the first segment with former Houston Oiler and later Atlanta Falcons head coach Jerry Glanville, you really missed something. But he's been nice enough. Terry, we doubled his pay, and so he was nice enough to stick around to answer your questions, so you better do good.
I will do my best. Coach, first thing...
You doubled my pay?
Well, 0 times 2 is... It's still zero.
Who am I talking to? Bud Adams?
Well, yes.
A contract, and it's 4 years, and it's $1 million. And he says, put it away. Hide it in your drawer. I'm putting it away. I have to interview three more people, and I have to talk to people. Nobody will know. You're the head coach. You got the contract. Just go out and have fun. So I'm watching TV, and he's got people from the Cowboys. He's showing where to live. I goes, my God, maybe that ink was that invisible ink. It's gone. And then Bud calls me, just like you two did, and said, okay, we're going to announce this, but I want to redo your contract. He goes, never has an assistant been promoted to a head coach and got 5 years. I said, you're kidding. He goes, I'm not going to give you four. I'm going to give you five. So I ran in to sign, and sure enough, I got a five-year contract, which was for $1 million, just like my four-year contract. I lost $50,000. That's what I got on this radio deal. I just lost another $50,000.
Oh, gosh.
You better ask him something.
I better. Coach, you were the coach of the Oilers during the last work stoppage in the NFL. What do you remember about trying to coach up the replacement players that played in those 3 weeks that the regular players were gone?
Well, the regular players were mad, of course. A great story. And we got the best. They had to end the striker. We were going to Super Bowl. They didn't want that because you couldn't beat a strike team. I promised the first team Oilers we were in first place when the strike started. And I promised them that when they come back, we'd still be in first place. Well, lo and behold, while we're transporting the strike players, the regular players raided the bus, broke out the windows, hit, did all kinds of things. So the police of Houston called me down and going to put some people in jail. You got to identify these people on this tape because they're going to jail for destruction and life-threatening your strike players. So they put the tape on, and there's three of my best players. Guys that will help me win, the guys that will spill their guts. He says, now, can you recognize that guy? And he's my starter, and he's the guy that the city. I go, I've never seen that guy in my life. And we went through the film. He goes, you can't identify anybody? I could have identified nine. I said, I don't think any of those people got anything to do with football. I'll see you later. I got up and left.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Couple of players that you had during your time in Houston, we got to know very well up here. One as a player, the other as a coach. Both of them are in the Hall of Fame. What do you recall about Bruce Matthews and Mike Munchak that made those two guys so successful and so special?
Well, Bruce Matthews, I tell everybody this, and we'll go back to Bud. He was the best center I've ever seen or coach. He was the best guard I've ever seen or coach. He was the best tackle I've ever seen a coach. Well, we're trying to find a long snapper. Well, he's the best long snapper, fastest snap, best snap you ever saw. And I said, I'm going to make you the long snapper, and I'll get you some extra money from Bud. So I went down to Bud's office. I said, we can save a salary here that we won't have to pay anybody to make the long snap. He'll do it. Can you help him out a little bit? Bud said, no problem. I give him $100 a game.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. It was hard working there, man. It was hard.
Oh, gosh. What do you remember about Munchak, who went on to become one of the most respected offensive line coaches in the NFL after a Hall of Fame playing career?
Well, the reason he's such a good coach, he didn't have the ability of a Hall of Fame. He had the hard work. He had the study. He had the preparation. He had to have the technique. He didn't have the quickness and the smoothness of a Matthews, but he's a good example of hard work overcoming everything. And they're two separate guys. Now, Matthews, his whole family, they got ability running through their veins from, three generations. They're different. And they played very good friends. They were special, and you realize it when you had them. I think we had a little knee problem there. I think he got to go to knee surgery while he was there, Munchak.
Yeah, I believe he had some problems. That's what eventually forced him to retire.
Yeah, and I think he lost a little quickness with that. Now, if he'd have gone to the new way, you know, Dr. L, right there in your city, you know, they quit doing surgeries. I had the two torn rotator cuffs. I go to your city. I go see Doc Elrod, who takes care of everybody in the NFL in those days. And they pull the blood out of me. They spin it, separate the platelets in the plasma, shove the platelets back in you, and there is no surgery. If they'd have had that when Munchak was there, I think he could have kept on playing like Matthews did. This is all new stuff. There's not going to be any surgery anymore. It's just they're going to do this stem cell from your own body, and it's amazing. If you need surgery in Knoxville, go see Dr. Elrod. Maybe he'll do my next one for nothing. I'll be sending him customers.
I got one more for you, Coach. You mentioned Nick Saban earlier, and obviously we're not in Tuscaloosa, so you can come clean. Give us your best story of Nick Saban as your secondary coach while you were there in Houston.
Well, he was more of a college guy. It was really funny. I was looking for a secondary coach and got a phone call from Tony Dungy. And Tony Dungy says, hey, Coach, and Tony Dungy tried to be on my staff, and the Steelers wouldn't release him or Mean Joe Green. They could go anywhere they wanted to go, but they weren't allowed to come with me. That's how much we hated each other, Chuck Noll and me. And he goes, I'm at Michigan State. I goes, and? He says, I'm watching Jerry Glanville coach Bump and Run. I goes, well, you're going to have to explain that. He says, I'm watching the secondary coach Bump and Run, and it's exactly like you. And I said, what's that guy's name? And he gave me the guy's name, and he was the secondary coach of the Houston Oilers 4 days later.
Wow.
Wow.
Did you, Jerry, I got about 45 seconds. Did you see brilliance in him at that point?
No. No, I think my eyes are fading me. I saw a good, hardworking, good football coach. He brought things to – what you have to do as a head coach is you have to listen, or all of a sudden you have nobody giving you any good ideas. So I would listen to him, and he gave us some good ideas. I was a 3-4 guy, and he taught us what we call an over, where we had a guy in an art on the guard and changed the – and guess what? I'm still using some of that stuff. So he was with a guy that was at the Steelers, was the head coach at Michigan State, and had some of that Steeler 4-3 knowledge, and we added that to our package. And because of that, I'm a better coach. But on a 9-man staff, I would say no. I'd say he's about 7.
Yeah. You have been a joy to have on here. We cannot thank you enough. And thank you for doing an extra segment with us.
Well, please call me and let me know if Terry's been fired, because he's the one that caused this.
Jerry, thanks.
Adios.
What a-